Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre, episode 14. It's a Monday, August 8th, 2016. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
Ray.
Slowly dying.
You're slowly dying for Ray. He's been coughing up a lung.
And I have not taken any sick time because I feel that because of our sick leave policies, I should go and infect everybody in the office so they all have to suffer with me.
But you really just have allergy thing, right?
No, it's not allergies at all.
It's really a cold?
Kind of bronchitis, cold, sinus drainage bullshit.
Oh, my God. Poor Ray. I hope I don't get it because I'll be out of town this weekend. I don't want to be sick. That would suck. Which reminds me, have you been rehearing about Delta? Their systems have been going down for the past few days.
Their system was down last night.
It was last night?
They brought it back up this morning for a little while. I don't know if it went back down.
But... oh, shit. Because I'm flying Delta this weekend, so I'm kind of scared.
Delta. But yeah, I think it's back up because they were talking about it this morning and they finally got the system back up and were getting people on planes. So.
Yeah. I actually talked to a friend of mine who's a Delta flight attendant, mm-hmm. and want to ask
hey Joe.
So I messaged him and he just woke up. He won't answer my question about is it up? Is the Delta system up? I'm flying this Friday. I don't want to be in the air when these things
I bet
happen.
You it comes down to Delta put all their eggs in one basket and do not have a redundant site in case of failures.
Maybe.
So, anyway, this ain't the first time this airline has screwed themselves up. So.
Yeah, that happens. Okay, Ray, so what did you do this weekend?
I was sick.
You were sick? No, you went out.
Well, I saw Suicide Squad, and that was it. And I don't just want to say, AMC, y'all the cheapest-ass bastards there are. Cutting off the AC in the middle of a movie, y'all right. are so wrong. Just wrong.
They just sweat a lot.
Well, it wasn't as much sweat as it was just so freaking hot in there. And I felt when the AC cut off about midway through the movie, mm-hmm. and I know why they did it, because they didn't have another later show in that movie theater after we left. So they cut it off, and they figured, oh, we'll save some money by not cooling it until the end of the movie. Cheap bastards.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay. Well, I did see it at AMC also. I didn't have much problems, but it was okay. What do you think? What did you think? I think it's Don... was it Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice?
Yeah.
Is much better. To me, it's much better than the Suicide Squad. And to think. I didn't like Batman versus Superman much.
That's Nard saying that.
That's me. That's it. That's my opinion. Yeah.
I don't know. It almost seemed like there were too many characters and too much going on. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of silly, the Enchantress story that went along with it. But. Maybe because I'm not a big DC person that I had never followed the Enchantress and knew what her issues were or what she did in the universe. But mm-hmm. I really liked Harley Quinn. I'm just not too sure about this whole thing about how obsessed the Joker is with her. Because I always felt that was a one-sided relationship, that she would do anything for him and...
No, he wouldn't care much.
He didn't care that much.
Maybe
they're changing it. Maybe they're making them like they're codependent of each other. But it always felt, because I think in there, doesn't she have a side piece, Poison Ivy, at some point? Because Mr. J just ignores her because he's so big about trying to kill Batman or something. I don't know. I might be wrong. But call me in and fill me in. That was my big thing. I did see a review that Jared Leto said that they had recorded so much Joker scenes that they could do a free, alone-standing Joker movie.
Oh, really?
He said there are so many scenes of the Joker that got deleted out of the movie that they could do a standalone movie of just the Joker.
Wow. Why didn't they? Of course, that's another...
I don't know. That's just him talking.
I'm sure it's going to be funny.
Because he didn't get enough screen time or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. That's the.
I kind of got his Joker and where he was coming from. It's still the whole thing of... him being so I saw the whole push pull thing where he didn't want Harley around, but then he couldn't stand to be without her. I mean, I kind of got that, but I just always see I saw in my interpretation of what I saw in the comic books is that was a one sided relationship. Hmm.
Did you ever collect any DC? You did say you don't collect DC. I collect.
No, I collect DC. I have DC comics.
You have You have Batman in it.
No, I didn't really collect Batman. I was more Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah, I was more Teen Titans. I was more Green Lantern myself.
I gave Carl all my Green Lanterns.
Green Lanterns.
Hey, Carl.
Anyway, so yeah, I didn't. The jokes are fine. There are funny moments, and
too much going on for me.
Yeah, and the star there really is, you know, Harley Quinn and what's his name and Deadshot, and you know,
yeah,
well,
Will Smith. And they introduced everybody in their first little 5-minute intro thing.
Yeah,
and then this one guy shows up, and I forgot who it was. He was played by the Indian guy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I was
yeah.
like, oh, yeah, he's going to die.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't know how I knew he was going to die?
Because he was not introduced.
He was not introduced until the last minute. I'm like, oh, he ain't going to make it 5 minutes. And he pretty much didn't.
Yeah. It's really sad.
But we'll see.
Anyway, so I enjoyed the action. It's okay. But the premise of it is kind of silly. You know, the Diablo thing in the end, fighting the big brother. Where did that come from? You know, where did the devil come into play here? You know,
Diablo is a fire demon character. I mean, he's a metahuman.
He's really a metahuman with demon in him or something.
Well, he's not a demon. I mean, that's just the persona that he could take on with the fire.
Oh, okay.
So,
was that in the comic books too?
I don't know. I don't ever remember it. Either. Oh. But that's what I assume, that in the comics he could take the shape when he really pushed his powers. He could assume some kind of fire shape or something.
That's weird, just walking around. But anyway, overall, to me, I don't know, 4 out of 10. What do you think, Ray?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't hate it. I mean, yeah, I'd probably watch it. I want to see it again when I get it on DVD.
Oh.
Well, when it got on DVD, so I can really watch it and see what I missed, because I'm sure there's some Easter eggs in there that
I'm sure
we missed. But
mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's pretty much our summary. I did see Mike was here in the weekend, so we did see Secret Life of Pets last Friday.
See, I wasn't that impressed with that movie. I could have watched that at home.
Yeah. It was that kind of movie, but Mike just wanted to watch it, so you can watch it. All right, let's go to our stories for this week, and some of them are, you know, came from the website, from the Facebook page, facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. Okay, our gay today is Gay Monopoly is the best board game you never knew existed. And I have a confession to make later, right? So this is from Bearworld Magazine, actually. This was posted by some of the contributors of Bearworld Magazine. It comes circa 1983 when Ronald Reagan was busy suppressing the AIDS epidemic and Margaret Thatcher was hard at work on Section 28. And it's possibly one of the best queerifications of all times. The rigid, straight-edged edges of the hetero Monopoly board was converted into a giant circle filled with gay landmarks. The policeman sending you to jail is replaced by a homophobic preacher sending you to Straight City.
Oh, that ain't right.
Oh, my God. Among the destinations up for sale are Castro Street, Provincetown, and our favorite.
There's a lot for sale on Castro Street, or there used to be.
Yeah.
Actually, you can pretty much just give it away on Castro Street.
That's not, no, nobody. Everybody just, what do you mean? Just people just give it away?
Give it away, give it away, give it away.
So there are other favorites like, you know, Oscar Wilde's Waterworks there. In place of the regular top hat, iron car and boots sit the handcuffs, the heel high and teddy bear. And instead of buying houses and hotels, you bought bars and bathhouses. And, well, the article, I'll put the links on the website for you guys to check out. So,
Can you still get this game?
I guess. I didn't read the bottom line.
Oh.
Let me see. But anyway, yeah. So, I just want to talk about this really quick because, Ray, I have a confession to make.
Yeah.
I've never, ever played Monopoly.
Well, I got like 5 different versions of Star Trek Monopoly over there we can play.
I never got into it. So,
and this weekend there, when we were at the comic book store, there was a Game of Thrones Monopoly for $99.
I wonder which one's Tyrion Lannister there. What he does there. So. Anyway, so yeah, We should get one of these because it's kind of a memorabilia, I guess.
Well, one week
it's got Tom Finland artwork in front too. Oh, so. Okay.
Well, if you ever stay home one weekend and not out traveling.
Okay. Let's play.
We can play Monopoly. We can play Star Trek or Star Wars Monopoly.
Okay. I don't even know the. I never played it. Yeah. So. I know there's fake money.
You go directly to jail.
You go directly to jail. You get gang banged in jail.
Yep. Pretty much. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, Ray. So, what's next?
You can take. I'll let you do this one too because I got two bizarre.
Oh, okay. I'll take the other geek. Here's the other geek. So the world's first website. Oh. The world's first website went online 25 years ago. So this is on telegraph.co.uk. So on August 6th.
The internet, there's only been web pages for 25 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That it was born, the first website that was
created. Do you realize how old when the first web page went online? Do you realize how old I was?
How old were you?
I'm not going to say because I'm not going to give my age away. But was it a porn site?
No, it's not. It's a school thing. It's probably a paper or something. Probably a Hello World. On August 6th, about 25 years ago, the world's first website went live to the public. The site created by Sir Tim Berners-Lee was a basic text page with hyperlinked words that connected to other pages. Berners-Lee used the public launch to outline his plan for the service, which would come to dominate life in the 21st century. The WWW project merges the techniques of information retrieval and hypertext to make an easy but powerful global information system, said Berners-Lee on the world's first public website. The project started with the philosophy that much academic information should be freely available to anyone.
Oh, so that started Wikipedia.
Yeah. Berners-Lee wanted the World Wide Web to be a place where people could share information across the world through documents and links navigated with a simple search function. Yeah, porn. So it's
it's the internet's for porn.
Yeah, the internet's for porn. Grab your dick and double click.
And shopping porn, on Amazon porn, these days.
Okay, so yeah, it's.
Well, I think it's kind of funny they launched a web page, but nobody had internet 20-something years ago, so 25 years ago.
Well, they had networked computers. Uh-huh. Network computers. So I guess it's public for people who have T1 connections or who had, No. Back then it was like a dial-up even.
I guess so. Maybe. Not even.
But, you know, when I first got it, the first time I ever experienced, the web, I went to a college friend's work. And he showed me that, look at this. There's this Netscape Navigator. He launched it. It's an application on his Windows machine.
I remember Netscape.
Yes. And then he went to, okay, just type any word. Go to yahoo.com. Or what did we do? Oh, Alta Vista. Do you remember Alta Vista? AltaVista.com. And then you would search there. There's a big search engine back then. You would search, say any topic. Tell me any topic. So I forgot what topic. Well, it's a work computer, so we couldn't say anything bad. So I think we did something like comic books or something. But it pulled up lots of pages back then. And when was this? 95? And Netscape, it was 94, 95. And Netscape Navigator was one of the biggest back then. Yeah. So I got to play with it. And
what happened to Netscape Navigator? What finally happened to them?
Oh, it branched out to Mozilla, and then they made that obsolete and continued on with a more open source system called Firefox, eventually, or Mozilla browser. There was a Mozilla browser back then, and eventually became Firefox, and then it's the Firefox that you know today.
Okay,
I think I really don't know the. But as far as I know,
if anybody knows the truth, because we know it's out there.
Yeah.
But wait, you could get on your internet and Google it.
That's right. You can. Right now, what do you use? I mean, tell me about the first time you ever surfed the web. It's got to be school stuff or in school or what?
No, we didn't have internet when I was in school.
Okay. So, yeah,
When I was in school, we didn't even have computers. Well, we had computers, and you had to take the two big 8-inch floppy disks and put them in and lock them in and then cut the computer on and hit it so it booted right, mm-hmm. and then you had a word processor.
Okay.
It was easier to use a typewriter.
But my question, yeah. So when did you first ever surf?
A long, long time ago.
In a city not so far away?
I was in North Augusta at the time.
Okay.
Because we just got internet.
So you got a modem?
Got a modem, yes.
You got them. We bought a modem and then started surfing using Netscape.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no. Maybe it was before that. Maybe it was at my mom's house because she'd got a computer and you could do dial-up.
Dial-up modem.
And okay. I dialed up and I'm trying to think where I went. I'm trying to think what the website was back then. But it was like a gay dating site.
Oh, I remember now. I used to
It was like very confusing to use and I couldn't figure it out and I finally just disconnected.
Didn't you do like BBS systems back then? Like, you know, bulletin board systems? No, you never. Mm-hmm. You would dial up to a computer.
And the connection even with dial-up was so slow, it just took forever and I got frustrated. And I think it wasn't until I moved to North Augusta and they finally released DSL.
Mm. Wow. DSL already? Gosh.
I think when we moved to the house in North Augusta, we didn't have to have dial-up. I think it was DSL. Mm. I think they'd rolled it out to the cities by then.
So do you remember what's the first web page you've ever seen? Yeah. You don't remember?
Yeah.
What did I see? I just, like I said, the first...
Yahoo was big at the beginning. I don't remember. Yahoo was my first email account.
Oh, let me see. My first email account was Hotmail. Yes, that's right. My first email account was even Hotmail. It's web-based. And it was not even owned by Microsoft yet. It was made by an Indian guy, I think, an Indian developer. And then he made a website for it, and then it was email. It was awesome because
I think I had Yahoo, and then I had Hotmail, and Hotmail disappeared. I don't even know can't even remember what my Hotmail email was.
Mm.
So
you stuck with Yahoo for a while.
Yeah, because Yahoo was the Facebook at the time, and that's where everything was happening.
Oh, that's right. Yahoo Messenger. Yahoo chat rooms, all that kind of stuff.
That was big back then.
And then
that thing, that Book of Faces came along and ruined it for everybody.
Mm. Well, that's way, way after. That's 2004.
Yeah, but I mean, that shut everything else down pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. Was it 2004? 2005? I can't remember. It's been a long time. And Facebook was more for the school. It was really big.
Well, it started
off
for schools, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, tell us guys, what was the first website you guys visited on your first time you ever used the internet? All right, Ray, let's go to the bizarre.
Okay, the bizarre this week. The saddest bastard you've ever seen almost dies waiting 10 days in the airport for internet girlfriend.
This is so sad.
Apparently these foreign guys have not ever watched MTV Catfish. So I don't know how many of your lives are going at the moment, but I'm pretty confident in saying that whatever's happening, you're doing better than this poor, pathetic Dutch guy, 41-year-old Alexander Kirk, who almost died while waiting 10 days in a Chinese airport to meet the girl he'd been talking to online. Alex, buddy, you really need to rethink some things, pal. Kirk had been corresponding with his internet girlfriend, a 26-year-old Chinese woman known by her name, surname Zhang, for about 2 months when Kirk had the idea to visit her in person. The pair met over a social networking app.
Probably Tinder.
And while Zhang reports that the two had agreed to wait a year before meeting, Kirk decided he couldn't wait. Kirk applied for and received a visa to go to China and sent Zhang a picture of his flight information, though Zhang suggests she didn't comprehend the relevance of the picture. If y'all didn't hear that, I just rolled my eyes. Also suggested that she didn't understand the relevance of the picture is that when he arrived, she was out of town getting some sort of cosmetic surgery, like maybe her penis removed. Undeterred by the absence of the only person he sort of knew in the country, over 1 billion people, Kirk decided to wait at the airport and wait and wait. He waited 10 days living at Changsha Airport. While he was waiting there, he doesn't seem to have taken much care of himself. He was eventually hospitalized for fatigue, malnutrition, and inactivity. Oh, you poor, pathetic bastard. So she didn't show up and he gave up.
Well, he still didn't do anything, I guess.
No, I mean, he apparently didn't eat. He didn't bathe. He didn't do anything.
Yeah.
He just sat there.
He was waiting for her. So that's kind of dumb, because if she ever thought of showing up, then, oh, my God, what did I get myself into? So,
I mean, I get there's a potent mix of heartbreak, shock, and confusion, but he didn't wait for any confirmation she'd be there. And after, say, 48 hours, he didn't start to think maybe there's a reason she wouldn't contact him at all. Maybe, like, maybe she was catfishing, or maybe she was BSing. Anyway, after being released from the hospital, Kirk flew back home, having logged one of the shittiest vacations ever undertaken by a Dutchman. The couple says they still plan to stay together because, of course, they did.
What? Stay together but still online?
I don't think this chick's real. Personally, I think it's a catfish scam, because he sent her money, and they were talking about this on the news. When they talked about it on the news, they were talking about that he'd sent her money for her operation.
Oh.
So what kind of operation was she getting?
Mm-hmm.
Penis removal, boob implants, or was she just scamming some poor old
Dutch guy? It's a scam. And she probably just one-wayed him. You know, she's not really that.
It might not even been a girl. It probably wasn't even a girl.
Yeah, it was probably two. I mean, that's more likely. But they've been chatting. I'm sure with dating apps, they probably FaceTime her. So,
well, I don't know. The way it talks, all they did was message each other and share pics. People are so crazy this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't FaceTime these days, then you ain't got no time. I ain't got no time for you.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're 5 million miles away. So anyway.
All right, Ray.
All right.
What's the next?
My second bizarre. Sex toy company erects world's largest dildo. As promotional products go, this one is pretty ballsy. It's a 12-foot, 4-inch tall replica of a male sex organ that makers believe is the world's largest dildo ever made. Their supersized sex toy is the brainchild of Nick Orlandino, the chairman and CEO of Pipe Dream Products, a sex products company based in Chatsworth, California. Ordinino came up with the idea of a monstrous member earlier in the summer, preparation for the Adult Novelty Manufacturers Expo. Why don't we get to go to that one? Screw this Halloween stuff we've been going to. Why don't we go to this one? A sex toy convention held every summer in Burbank, California. Ed, you got to hook us up.
Yeah.
2 years ago, we made a wall of cocks featuring our product, Orlando told Huffington Post. It was the hit of the show, so I was trying to figure out how to outdo myself. The company's flagship brand is a dildo called the King Cock, and in June, Orlandino decided to create a truly king-size version. My employees looked at me like I was crazy, they said, but a few hours later, they came back and said, we can do this. It took about 3 weeks to design, mold, and sculpt the massive member. We had to use aluminum air duct panels to make the shell and then put the rubber over this, he said, emphasizing that elephantine erection was like the company's products made in America. He admits the giant dildo is only suitable for promotional purposes, since it's highly unlikely it can be used for other purposes. Now, with that comment, we have friends that would accept that as a challenge.
That's right. Definitely. But, you know, if it doesn't fit the mouth, how could it fit down there?
Well, have you met some of our friends? I mean, some would go jump on that and ride it for days.
Yeah, it's really pretty big. It's a very nice novelty. Kind of reminds me of Amsterdam. They had these sex museum, and they have...
You mean that giant butt plug they've had there for years?
Yeah.
That's supposedly a Christmas tree?
I don't remember that.
We talked about that before.
Oh, yeah, we did, yeah. Podcast. But there was one that is, they have they're ceramic, or either that or cement, I don't know. But they're big dicks also. But yeah, that's pretty big. Is it really a dildo which is rubbery?
Yeah. They basically took the latex and formed a form on some stuff to hold it up.
And it's cut.
Yes, it's a cut dildo.
Or is it the...
It's kind of funny, but they should have put some hair on the balls. I mean, you know.
Like, well, it's kind of tacky if you have balls in your hair.
So.
Hair in your balls. Do you shave your balls, Ray?
I keep them trim. I'm not shaved.
Oh, you don't shave them?
Hmm. No. So.
You should groom that thing. All right, so Ray, I hope you feel better this week.
I hope so, too.
Yeah. You taking Benadryl or some cough medicine or?
I've been taking a bunch of different things and nothing seems to work. So.
Ginger tea.
I've tried teas. I've tried Theraflu. I've tried a bunch of different things. Nothing seems to help.
Oh no! So. If you guys have, if you guys out there listening, if you have any advice for Ray because he's not feeling good, so
send him. Speaking of people not feeling good, Jay, our hearts go out to you and our prayers go out to you. I know you're sitting in a hospital in Chicago, so
oh Jay,
get better.
Get better, Jay. Hope you feel better, Jay. That's from the, Chicago.
That's the second person we've known that's gone to the hospital because of pneumonia.
It's pretty scary.
Brian. And now Jay. It's all them damn vapor trails from the airplanes.
Oh, okay. All right, so I guess that ends our show. Yep. Thank you very much to Caesar for, you know, helping us on the Geek Bazaar notes on, you know, on Facebook. It's called facebook.com/GayGeekBazaar. If you want to email us, send us your emails to show@GayGeekBazaar.com.
Or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And we're now on SoundCloud and Google Play.
Yep. And also in iTunes and Stitch Radio. By the way, shout out to Stone. I'm at a pool party. I'm sorry. I went at a pool party last Saturday, the party that you missed, Ray.
I was sick.
You were sick. So, yeah, shout out to Stone. And also to Mark, you know, we got to hang out last Saturday. Okay, so thank you for listening, everyone. Until the next episode. Bye.